Hey Oceanside, happy Easter to you. So wonderful to be with you this Easter morning. And we're joining you here from Craig Bay, and it's a beautiful morning. And we wanted to give it kind of a special feel, almost like a sunrise service here being outside. And so here we are. I'm actually standing kind of in the ocean because the tide is so low right now, and kind of standing in the sand here. I have some soaking wet socks, but that's okay. We're having a great time, and we're so happy to be with you this morning. Kids, I hope you're enjoying the Easter egg hunt. Here's another one for you. Hope you didn't miss that. There might be one or two more to come throughout the rest of the message. Well, my name's Joseph. I'm the co-lead pastor here at Oceanside Community Church, along with my spouse, Hannah, who you just saw right before me. And we're just so happy to be with you this Easter. There's this great Easter tradition that Christians have been doing for a long time, and it's where the speaker says, "He is risen," and the congregation responds by saying, "He is risen indeed." And they do this on Easter morning. So let's keep the tradition alive, even though we can't do it in person and together. But I'll say, "He is risen," you say, "He is risen indeed." He is risen. Awesome. I heard you all the way here from Nanus Bay. Well, we've been in a series in the Gospel of John, in a book in the Bible about the life of Jesus, and we've titled this section of the book in our series, Confused Over Christ. For people who have a lot of questions about Jesus and who he is and where he's from and what he's all about, why he came and his message. And Jesus has been laying out some really clear teachings, particularly here in John 8. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the way of death versus the way of life. And then last week we talked about that either we are slaves to sin or we are set free from sin. And all of this teaching is building towards Jesus' claim to deity, that he is God come in the flesh. And ultimately, therefore, he is the only one who can save us from our sin and from the way of death and lead us into the way of life and, in fact, eternal life. And by eternal life, we mean that we will live forever. And our title and theme for this Easter morning is just that, forever alive. And that is the message and hope of Easter, that death is not the end. For those who die in Christ will ultimately live forever with him. But I want to focus this morning on verse 51 of this text, what I believe is the central message of what Jesus is saying, not only here in John 8, but really in his entire ministry and message. He's in a bit of an argument with the Jews, and they even throw some insults at him here, claiming in verse 48, or calling him a Samaritan. And that was kind of a pejorative term that they threw at Jesus. It was an insult or a slam. It was really them saying, essentially, "You're less than a real Jew." And then even worse, they call him demon-possessed. And so Jesus begins to respond to their accusations. And Jesus basically says, "You don't know what you're talking about. I'm here to honor my Father and to bring glory to him, the one who will judge all of us." That's about as far as demon possession as you can get. And then he makes this claim in verse 51. "Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." And the rest of this story or text is those listening to Jesus saying, "How can you make this claim? I mean, even the great Abraham tasted death." And then Jesus says, "But I'm greater than Abraham. And in fact, he looked forward to this day when I would come." And they say, "How can you talk about Abraham like you know him? Like, you're like 30 years old." And then Jesus drops a bombshell in verse 58. And he says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." And it's a direct claim to deity, to being God. For in the Old Testament, God often referred to himself as this name, "I am." So Jesus is saying, "I predate Abraham. I am pre-existent because I am God." And that's why they then pick up stones to stone him in verse 59, because claiming to be God was considered blasphemy, punishable by death. So that's this passage in a nutshell. But I want to circle back to what I think is easily the central point of this text and Jesus' message in general, and that is verse 51. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my words will never see death. We know this is important for any time in the Bible where it says very truly, it should get our attention. It translates the Greek phrase amen, amen, saying it twice. And it's just Jesus and the author's way of saying, hey, pay attention. This is big. We really want you to get this. This is really important. Listen up. It's sort of the first century equivalent of saying, hear ye, or breaking news. It's like the President of the United States or our Prime Minister saying, hey, I'm going to have a national primetime address this evening because I want the whole nation to hear this. This is really important stuff. Everybody needs to get this. So what was this message that Jesus is saying is so important? Hear ye, whoever obeys my word will never see death. So because this was so important to Jesus, introducing it, amen, amen, let's break this down, and particularly the three important words in this verse. Word, see, and death, those three words. So first, the qualification for never seeing death, a phrase I'll explain in a second, but the qualification is whoever obeys my words. And as it is throughout the book of John, the word here, the Greek word logos, if you're or logos, if you're familiar with that important word, refers more to just a word on a page or even just a specific teaching of Jesus. But rather, word or logos means Jesus' entire message of eternal life with him. It sums up his whole life, everything he taught and did, including even his death and resurrection. It's an all-encompassing description of the person of Jesus. The Gospel of John begins actually saying, in the beginning was the Word, or Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John has already introduced Jesus as the Word. So Jesus says, if you will live by this Word, this Logos, essentially revolve your entire life according to Jesus, base your life upon him, then he says, you will never see death. And that's a huge promise. I mean, it's no wonder those who listened to Jesus basically said, you're crazy. And in fact, in verse 53, they say, who do you think you are? Telling us that we will never see death. And Jesus' teaching about it is emphatic here. In fact, in the original Greek text, that death, the word death, is in the prominent place in the sentence, so that it quite literally says, whoever obeys my word, death, that person will never see. And Jesus uses the word for never see. He uses the word aeon, which is where we get our word eon, just mean eons, like eternal age. So Jesus is basically saying, death, the person who obeys my message will never see it forever and ever, for eons and eons. But what does this mean that we will never see death? Well, the word see here sort of just means to experience or perceive. One commentator translates it as shall not notice death. How can we not notice death? I mean, it's all around us. It's the one thing we should fear, right? That we can't seem to control or overcome. It's the great equalizer. It's the end of life, right? How can we not experience death? Well, there's an old hymn called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And so that I don't ruin your Easter, I won't sing it for you, but I will give you the lyrics, which is just four lines. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that's essentially what Jesus is saying here. that if we fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who overcame death and lives and reigns forever and ever, then in a way, if our eyes are on Him, the one who lives forever, then we will never see death. For to look to and stay focused on Jesus is only to see life and life eternal. And so we almost don't notice or pay attention to death if our eyes are fixed on Jesus. In a way, we almost don't experience death. Yeah, it will happen to us, but as one commentator says, it's kind of like as if we're sitting under a tree, reading a book, and a leaf falls from that tree and drops near us. You know, it happens to us, yeah, but we don't in any full sense really see it or notice it. It's an inconsequential event around us. And it's like we don't even quite notice death if we die in Christ, because death is not the end. It's just the beginning, for we will be forever alive in Him. You know, we live in a world that's pretty uncomfortable with death, and particularly our own. We don't want to think about death or come to grips with death. Hannah and I, this past week, we watched the movie A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Tom Hanks movie about Mr. Rogers. And there's this interesting scene where somebody is in the last days or weeks of their life, and they're all gathered around in the living room, and they're talking about something that's going to happen in a few months. And one of the family members says, you know, if you're still here. And then this kind of uncomfortable silence engulfs the room as they realize this person may die before that event happens. And Mr. Rogers, he breaks the silence by saying, "To die is to be human. And anything human is mentionable. Anything mentionable is manageable." We don't like to mention death. But to die is to be human. But in the context of belief in Jesus, death becomes more than even mentionable or manageable. It becomes something we overcome through Jesus, so much so that we almost don't see or taste death, as Jesus says here. And we're certainly not ruled by death or fearful of death. So Jesus says, if you obey my words, you don't have to worry about death. And what is that word, that all-encompassing message that we obey and live our lives by? Well, it's the Easter message, the message of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. All our faith as Christians really rests on this one event. For the only way to overcome and conquer the enemy of death is to put all your faith and hope in the one person, in fact, the only person who ever overcame death, and that is Jesus. That's why the Bible says elsewhere in Romans 10:9 that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. Saved from your sin and saved from death and eternal separation from God. We believe not only that Jesus lived, but that He still lives. And therefore, that we not only will live, but will still live even after we die. Those who put their faith in Christ need not be fearful of death. As pastors, Hannah and I have had the incredible privilege and honor of being with people in the final moments and hours of their life sometimes, where we're standing by their bed and holding their hand and often singing hymns of praise to God. And it's so beautiful to be with somebody who doesn't fear death, whose faith and hope is solely in Christ and knows that death is not the end, but that they will be with Jesus, dying full of faith, but not fear. And this faith, it's not devoid of factual content. We are not asked to believe something with no evidence to support that belief. I mean, the Bible is a real historical book with real historical people, hundreds of whom testify to the resurrection of Jesus. And you can read about some of those people in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And there are real people mentioned in these letters. And so these people could have been asked, those reading these letters could have went to them and say, hey, did you actually see Jesus resurrected? Is it true? And it's impossible to explain what happened in the first century, the growth of Christianity, without the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, that's what gave it its life and its growth, and that's why we're still talking about Jesus 2,000 years later. It's not so much because Jesus was a great teacher, although he was, but there have been many great teachers. It's not because Jesus was a miracle worker, although he was, but there have been many miracle workers. We're still talking about Jesus because his disciples saw a man who once was dead come to life, and they realized this changes everything we thought we ever knew. And there's no other explanation for the rise of Christianity except that Jesus was who he said he was and proved it by rising from the dead. Otherwise, the movement would have died. And the truth is, all of us can experience the resurrected Jesus in our lives today. I mean, right now, over 2 billion people, over 30% of the world's population, are celebrating what they've discovered, the Easter message that Jesus is alive. And if Jesus is alive, then everything he said is true. The things he did mattered. The stakes couldn't be higher. It all matters. And so my question for you, have you experienced the Easter call to come alive? And not just in this life through the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of the resurrected Christ that makes us born again, that makes us into a new life, not just coming alive in this life, but also knowing the hope that you will be forever alive through his eternal spirit that he gives to us, that we will belong to Jesus forever in his kingdom that is to come. I mean, who else can rescue you from death? It's the one enemy none of us can ever defeat on our own. We will not live forever unless we die in and with Christ. And the reality is, I can't fully explain the miracle or mystery and joy of Easter with words. I mean, I could go on and on this morning about Jesus, but the truth is, it has to be experienced for ourselves, which only happens when we reach out and put our faith and hope in Jesus, put our trust in him and invite him to come and be the Savior and Lord of our life. So if you want to start that this morning, if you want to take that first step, I invite you right now, wherever you are, to just close your eyes with me. Maybe you're watching in your living room, on Facebook, maybe you're playing this on your walk, you might be listening later in the week and you just happen to come across this. Whatever or wherever the situation, it's no mistake that you're hearing this morning. God loves you desperately. He created you. He uniquely designed you. He loves you so much that he paid for and did away with your sin on the cross, so that will never come between you and God. So right now, if you can just pray these words with me, maybe for the first time, or maybe you're reaffirming them. Say, "Dear Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you are who you said you were. I believe in your life, your death for my sins, and your resurrection. I put all my trust and all my hope in you, knowing that if I obey your word, I will never see death. Please welcome me into your forever family. Amen." Well, if you sincerely prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God, the forever family, the family that will be forever alive. And And if you did that, there's three important things that you can do. Number one, get involved with a Bible-believing, Jesus-loving church in your local community. At this point in time in history, that will probably be through online, but find a local church. And if you live here in this area, we're going to be continuing online in this way, and we even have groups meeting throughout the week via Zoom that are encouraging one another to continue to live for Jesus. So get plugged in somewhere. Number two, start reading your Bible. Read one of the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And if you don't have a Bible, please contact us, send us your address, and we will deliver it with clean hands to your door. The third thing you can do is tell somebody. This is so important. So go ahead and post something online saying, I just committed my life to Jesus. Send us an email or a Facebook message. Tag us in a post saying, I just committed my life to Jesus. Jesus went public for you on the cross, and so we should go public for him. But tell a family member, tell a friend, tell someone. Call us at the church and we'll get back to you. Aren't you glad that in Jesus we have victory over death? Because he claimed victory over death, his resurrected spirit now lives in and is already resurrecting us by his Holy Spirit, the spirit that makes us come alive and will one day make us forever alive. So as we close, would you let this song bless you as we sing it together, and then Lydia will close us with an Easter benediction.